Quote, one of Mills, John Stuart Mill's, chief worries was the ever-growing pressure that government, industry, and public opinion put on the individual to conform to their requirements. This, the third quarter of the 19th century, was a great period in English trade and industry. It must have seemed that machines were here to stay. Mill must have thought there was little to do to liven the deadening routine of factory work, but that indirectly one could do a lot. When men were not working, they could devote their free time to politics. There they would learn about cooperation. They would sharpen their wits in discussion and begin to feel a sense of local and national responsibility. We're quoting here De Grazia describing John Stuart Mill, who was a student of Jeremy Bentham, and Bentham died in the 1830s, just to give you a sense of place. Continuing with De Grazia, quote, to keep men toward these worthy objectives, the first step was enlarging the suffrage. This is Mill's thought. This would bring men around to voting, give them a stake, and hence an interest in politics. After interest would come participation, which in itself was a form of educating the citizen. At present, men's work was a routine, a satisfaction of daily wants, not a labor of love. Neither the product nor the process of their work life lifted their minds above ordinary beings, stimulated them to reach for books, brought them in the circle of persons of culture. Just giving a man something to do for the public would supply almost all his present deficiencies, Mill thought. Quoting Mill, De Grazia is quoting Mill, the proofs of this, Mill wrote, are apparent in every page of our great historian of Greece, unquote. His model is Athens. Men's leisure should be dedicated to the polis. Participating in politics, Mill pointed out, quote, raised the intellectual standard of an average Athenian citizen far beyond anything of which there is yet an example in any other mass of men, ancient or modern, unquote. And that's unquote from both Mill and De Grazia for a minute. See, Mill's is a good example of unrooted thought, unrooted from physical reality. We can see De Grazia embodying and playing out his logic. He's saying, okay, this is what Mill thought. This is why he thought it, showing how it runs, showing how it doesn't. Continuing with De Grazia, once the citizens, according to Mill, took a more active role in politics, once they had the liberty to vote and speak and be educated, what then? Asks De Grazia. How does this liberty lead to the good life? And another interjection. And as we saw, de Tocqueville had already provided the best possible answer to that question within the terms that class allows the abstracted, unrooted thought of philosopher-statesman. De Tocqueville, writing in the 1830s, has already taken the logic of democracy as an ideology of rule as far as it can go. Continuing with De Grazia, liberty for Mill was doing as one pleased. A phrase that seems related to the idea of leisure. And to have as many choices as possible is a good thing because it prevents the routine of work from turning one stale. At the mention of work, though, the resemblance to leisure evaporates. You can only be partially free if you're not free of necessity. The working classes whose heads Mill wished to lift couldn't lift them while they're tending a loom, driving a quill, or selling goods over a counter. How can you be free to do as you wish if you have to work all day? How will your free time be free if you have to be ready to go back to work on the dot? And if your free time is clocked too? And if in it you're reacting to your work, blowing off steam, making a whole article in your basement workshop, wearily watching TV, work is still working on you, unquote from Sebastian de Grazia's of time, work, and leisure. States cannot, by definition, deliver happiness because they require us to work. what power wants. And De Grazia expresses it with a slyly antiseptic, false civility, quote, "The people, well acquainted with its true interests, would allow that in order to profit by the advantages of society, it is necessary to satisfy its demands. In this state of things, the voluntary association of the citizens might supply the individual exertions of the nobles, and the community would be alike protected from anarchy and from oppression," unquote. That sounds so courteous, doesn't it? Much too polite a phrasing for what power has done to us. I prefer Townsend's bluntness. If you grab them by the short hairs, they'll follow you anywhere. The time-tested advice of philosopher statesmen to rulers across nation and millennia. Until next week, peace.